kind of VIL badge or identifying insignia. As they walked through the swelling opalescence of dawn, Ladro Buford attached himself to Ryan, recognizing him as the leader of the group. He asked him for the names of all the other members, pausing to jot them down in a small notebook of maroon Morocco leather.
We come from a tiny settlement way down the coast called Miskatucket.
We are a closed community at the Institute, Ryan. Have been since before the long winters.
What do you mean, since before the long winters?
A lucky chance. Freak of nature, winds of the ground zero locations and the enemy missiles. We were preserved. Of course, there were a number of fatalities in the months that followed, from the radiation-induced cancers. A sad number we have never recovered from in terms of our population, which is tragically still shrinking slowly. Fertility has not been our strong suit, but with the new... But I go before my horse to market. We should be there in a couple of hours, and you will see what you will see and hear what you will hear.
The forest was thick on both sides of the trail, while the game was noticeably diminished. Buford wasn't capable of making much speed, and the time dragged by for some of the party, particularly Dean. With his father's permission, he kept scampering off ahead of them, investigating side trails, reappearing perched high in the branches of a lofty spruce, and flicking cones at the Sekhmen, who ignored him.
The boy has great spirit, but when we are a little nearer the Institute, he must remain with us or he could come to harm.
It had rained on the part of the woods they now walked through, water still dripping off the long needles of the pines, making the path muddy and treacherous.
Fallen tree ahead.
Ah, yes. It has come down very recently and blocks the path. We must detour.
I'll warn the others, sir.
Ryan noticed that Ellison had an unusual curling scar that tugged down the corner of his mouth, partly hidden by the luxuriant mustache.
Dean's somewhere up front of us, Ryan. Should you go and call him back?
Don't fuss about the kid. The boy needs adventure. You can't raise him as some little wimp who only wants to cook and sew.
I see that political correctness is a concept that never reached you, traitor.
Political what now?
It's a sort of idea that being a misogynist redneck peckerwood isn't necessarily being wise and godlike.
Jack pointed ahead of them where the trail dipped into a shallow valley.
Dean, in drop tree.
It was once a tall spruce, the dry brown of its foliage showing that it had already been dead before its roots lost their grip on the soil beneath it. It was a tangle of jagged branches, some of which had already snapped off, some of which were now perched at dangerous angles. Dean was sitting astride it, as though on a horse, waving to his father and the others.
Come on, it's safe enough to crouch under.
Come down.
Ryan was troubled by the way that the big tree was perched at a perilous angle, its broken tip swaying on top of a bank of loose earth.
Nah, Dad, it's...
The spruce dipped and rolled, its branches exploding into flying shards of splintered wood, sending everyone ducking out of the way. When Ryan opened his eye again, his son had vanished. He started to run toward the tumbled giant, his boots slipping in the mud.
Dean?
Ryan stopped, fighting against a blood rush of panic, knowing that he had to overcome his own fear for Dean's life before he was able to do anything to help him. He stood a few yards off and studied the horror of the situation. It was easy enough to see Dean, or part of the lad. His head, shoulder, and arms were visible, pinned beneath a massive branch that was itself poised and restrained by the main trunk of the fallen spruce. One wrong move, and it would rock free and roll all the way down, crushing the boy. The rest of the group, including the Sekhmen, were moving behind Ryan. He held up his hand for them to stop.
Everyone, keep the fuck back out of the way! Christy and JB, come here!
Buford insisted on joining them, stooping and peering owlishly over his glasses.
Yes, most perilous. If the fulcrum is disturbed, then the pivotal motion will rotate along the long axis and it will...
That's my son, you little pissant! Get out of the way or I'll snap your neck like a rabbit's!
Dean was conscious, his head strained back, the sinews in his throat corded with the effort of trying to look at his father.
I'm sorry, Dad, about...
Shut up! Can you move?
No! There's branches across my stomach and the tops of my legs and feet.
We'll soon get you out, Dean. Can you move your arms and fingers all right?
Yeah. I can feel my toes wriggle, too.
Good. And you got no bad injuries. We'll have you out, Dean. Don't go away.
I'll try not to, Dad.
Ryan led Christy and JB a little farther away, dropping his voice.
What do you reckon?
If we got time, we can send a sec man to fetch some good ropes from their ville and pulleys. We can jury-rig a tackle and heave that branch off him, if we've got the time.
Dad!
Hang on!
No, Dad, listen! I think the branch is getting heavier on top of me. Like it's moving real slow, I can feel it.
Ryan gestured for the others to keep well off. Going alone, he picked his way through the scattered detritus from the broken branches, taking the ultimate care not to slip and somehow disturb the delicate balance of the lethal trap that was crushing his helpless son.
Can you see anything, Dad?
Yeah. Yeah, I can see what's happening. The sharp, broken end of the branch that's got you is sinking into the soft, muddy ground. That's gradually increasing the weight on you.
Will it stop?
Ryan hesitated. From where he stood, it was possible to see that the other end of the spruce branch was very slowly slipping from the trunk. Once it lost that residue of purchase, it would fall and wipe Dean away.
Sure it'll stop.
There was no way of getting anything else under it to check the inexorable progress downward. The other branches were brittle and dry and would snap. The trees all around had strong, healthy branches, but to cut through one or two of the necessary breadth would take far too long without a power saw. And because of the configuration of the ground and the way the tree had fallen, there wasn't room for several people to get in and lift it. There was barely space at the point of balance of the shifting branch for even a single person.
I'll take the weight lever, and you have everyone else ready to try to hold some of the strain if necessary. And get Dean out the moment I lift it up. Gotta be quick.
Use the Gaia power?
Yes.
Christy's face was calm, as though she were already starting to focus some of those hidden, mysterious strengths. The secret skills taught to her by her mother, Sonia, linked to the Earth Mother herself, Gaia.
You know what it does to you. It comes close to chilling you when you use it, Christy.
I know.
Dad! It's getting heavy! Hurry!
You can do it?
I can try.
Impossible. Im-fucking-possible.
Christy threw off her dark blue jacket and stood by the tree in her white shirt and blue pants.
Everyone dead quiet. I'll kill the first person who makes a sound.
The mid-morning forest was silent. Not a bird flew anywhere near them. Not a squirrel chattered in the high branches. The lightest breeze rippled the tops of the pines all around, and the air carried the faint flavor of salt from the nearby ocean. The sun sailed across a cloudless sky, peeking down and casting dappled shadows.
Gaia, help me here. Aid me, Gaia, and lend me your strength for this action, only to save another's life.
Christie's green eyes were closed, and she was deliberately controlling her breathing.
That hunk of wood must weigh 3,000 or 4,000 pounds easy. It just can't be done.
Ryan glanced sideways at the sec man, who caught the look and shook his head slowly.
Can't get no air, Dad!
Christy locked herself into the trance that she needed, moving below the great branch, touching it gently with the tips of her fingers, tensing herself.
Gaia, help me with your power! Now!
Ryan had seen Christy use her mysterious muti powers just a few times before. On each occasion, it had left her totally exhausted, drained of all energy, needing care and rest to restore her to normal. He had watched as she performed acts that transcended all the normal laws of motion, energy, and strength, and he had seen the toll it took. But he had never known her to take on a challenge that was so obviously impossible. The Sekhmen was right. Trader was right. There was no way on God's earth that a 150-pound, 5-foot-11-inch woman could even begin to move the mass of dead wood that hung over Dean, waiting for the slightest nudge to tumble and smear him into the dirt. Christy stood below the behemoth of timber, slightly crouched, taking the strain on her shoulders, steadying the branch with both hands. JB was in charge of Trader, Abe, and the Sekhmen, waiting to try to step in if there was anything that they could do to help. Ryan and Jack were less than 6 feet away from Christy, all of their concentration focused on the trapped boy, ready to move in at the first sign of movement from the broken tree.
Oh!
extra.